What actually are the Silmarils? The Silmarillion is named after them, and they seem to cast a long shadow in the story. But what are they, and why are they so important? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you'd like to see more videos about great fantasy stories like The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and The Witcher, then this could be the channel for you. Welcome. The Silmarils are obviously central to the Silmarillion, or at least the largest part of it. The Quenta Silmaril, literally the History of the Silmarils, is the largest of the five books in the Silmarillion, and the most story-driven, with great characters and narratives. It's clear Tolkien loved writing about them. By the time of The Lord of the Rings, the Silmarils were ancient history, but they still get mentioned several times. So what were they, and why were they so important? To understand their creation, we have to go way back in time, to the Years of the Trees, before even the First Age. In that time, light was brought to the land of the Valar by two trees, Telperion and Lorelin, the only other source of light then being the stars. And the light of these trees was beautiful, just pure and bright and beautiful, holy almost. Now at the time there was a Noldorin elf by the name of Feanor. I'm sure I'll do more videos on him because he really was a hugely important and charismatic figure, heir to the kingship of the Noldor, a mighty warrior, a linguist and a craftsman without equal. He made the Palantiri, those ancient powerful seeing stones we come across in The Lord of the Rings, for example, as well as many other wonders. But his masterwork was the creation of the Silmarils, three jewels that held the light of the two trees Telperion and Lorelin. This was an astonishing feat, and there are many layers to this story. He was inspired, so it was said, by Galadriel's hair, which shone bright gold and silver, and people said captured the light of the two trees in its tresses. The relationship between those two is fascinating and sometimes a bit creepy. Three times he asked for a tress of her hair, and three times she refused him. Whatever he wanted her hair for, Feanor clearly wanted to capture and preserve the light of the two trees forever. Perhaps there was even some premonition here of the fate of the trees, for they would not last, and Feanor poured all of his craft and effort into the creation and crafting of the Silmarils. This is what we read about it in the Silmarillion. He began a long and secret labour, and he summoned all his lore and his power and his subtle skill, and at the end of all, he made the Silmarils. As three great jewels they were in form, but not until the end, not until the sun passes and the moon falls, shall it be known of what substance they were made. Like the crystal of diamonds, it appeared, and yet was more strong than adamant, so that no violence could mar it or break it within the kingdom of Arda. Yet that crystal was to the Silmarils but as is the body to the children of Iluvatar, the house of its inner fire, that is within it and yet in all parts of it, and is its life. And the inner fire of the Silmarils Feanor made of the blended light of the trees of Valinor, which lives in them yet, though the trees have long withered and shine no more. Therefore, even in the darkness of the deepest treasury, the Silmarils of their own radiance shone like the stars of Varda. And yet, as were they indeed living beings, they rejoiced in light and received it and gave it back in hues more marvellous than before. All who dwelt in Aman were filled with wonder and delight at the work of Feanor, and Varda hallowed the Silmarils, so that thereafter no mortal flesh, nor hands unclean, nor anything of evil will might touch them, but it was scorched and withered. And Mandos foretold that the fates of Arda, earth, sea and air lay locked within them. Impressive stuff. Made from an entirely new substance, unbreakable and somehow, as he had intended, capturing the very light of the two trees of Valinor. They shone in the dark and were even brighter in the light. The Valar hallowed them so that no mortal or evil hand could touch them without being burned. The feat of their creation was unparalleled and unrepeatable. Feanor alone knew the secret of their creation, and he had poured so much of himself into it that he knew that he could never make any more. They were unique, beautiful, and awe-inspiring. But the irony is that despite their being beautiful and hallowed, they were the cause of colossal amounts of pain and harm and downright evil. as is the way with a lot of Tolkien's in-world artifacts. Think of the One Ring and the Arkenstone as well. Their mere astonishing presence started to cause people to covet them, and that led to confrontation, strife, war, and tragedy. People's desire to possess the Silmarils led to much of the conflict of the First Age, hence the story of the First Age in the Silmarillion being named the Quenta Silmaril. The first person to succumb to an obsession with the Silmarils was Feanor himself. He alternately wore them with great pride and then locked them away so that no one else could touch or see them. Then Melkor, Morgoth, also started to covet them. At the time he was pretending to be a reformed character living in Valinor, but secretly was turning the Noldor against the Valar and each other. To be fair to Feanor, he never trusted nor liked Morgoth, but still the Dark Lord began manipulating him. Feanor fell out with his half-brother and went off in exile with the Silmarils and with his father, causing a deep rift in Valinor. When he returned to make up with Fingolfin, his half-brother, after the Valar had rather belatedly realised that a lot of all this was Morgoth's fault, Morgoth struck. He enlisted Ungoliant, a horrific spider-like figure that could suck life and light out of the world, and killed the two trees, poisoning them so that they could no longer provide their light to the world. The Valar understandably turned to Feanor. His Silmarils held the light of the trees, and the Valar could perhaps use that to bring the trees back, to restore light to Arda. But Feanor refused. The Silmarils were his, and he could never replace them, so he would never give them up. But then the news came. While Feanor was talking with the Valar, Morgoth had taken the Silmarils himself from Feanor's home, killing Feanor's father in the process. Feanor, now king of the Noldor, grew angry at everyone. Morgoth, the Valar, Fingolfin, everyone. They all wanted to take his Silmarils. He led his people to Middle-earth to reclaim the Silmarils from Morgoth and made his sons swear an oath that they would not let anyone stand between them and reclaiming the Silmarils. What happened next was perhaps inevitable but still tragic. In Middle-earth, Feanor and the Noldor attacked the forces of Morgoth and lost. Feanor died, though his son survived to cling to their oath. There is obviously a lot more to that part of the story, but it's worth pausing to understand the gravity of what had just happened. With the death of the two trees, light had gone from the world, and the only means of saving those trees, the Silmarils, were now in the possession of Morgoth. The Valar cut their losses. They salvaged what they could from the trees and made the sun and the moon, and with that a new way of reckoning time came into being, and the First Age proper began. The Silmarils were then, therefore, not just old and beautiful and precious, but the last remnants of that pure, holy light of Valinor. The fact that Morgoth held them was an affront to everyone, but particularly to Feanor's sons who had sworn that oath. That oath and their actions since then had caused them to be cut off entirely by the Valar. They were banned from returning to Valinor, and such legends as Galadriel, Finrod, and Fingolfin forged their fates in Middle-earth instead. The world changed because of the Silmarils, or more precisely, because of the desire for the Silmarils. What happened with the Silmarils through the rest of that First Age is really just a succession of heroic acts and reckless tragedies. For much of the age, the Silmarils remained with Morgoth in his stronghold of Angband. The siege of Angband by the Noldor lasted 4.5 centuries, all told, with no real progress by either side. But eventually Morgoth's army broke out, and not too long after that, Beren and Lúthien broke in. The story of Beren and Lúthien is one of the three great tales of the First Age, and this is just a part of it. But basically, in order to win the hand of the woman he loved, Beren was tasked with getting one of the Silmarils from Morgoth and giving it to Thingol, Lúthien's father. This was intended as a hopeless task, but they managed it anyway. So Morgoth then had two of them, and Thingol, a Sindarin elf, had the other. Feanor's sons had none. That Silmaril went through a few sets of hands. Thingol had it set in the Nauglamir, a precious necklace made by some dwarves. The dwarves who did it decided that the necklace and the Silmaril set in it were actually rightly theirs, so they took it, killing Thingol and a lot of elves along the way. Beren then got it back off of them, killing a lot of dwarves along the way. He gave it to Luthien, his love, who wore it until she died. It then passed to Deor, her son, by which time the sons of Feanor decided to claim it. Remember, Feanor had made the Silmarils in the first place, and he and his sons had sworn an oath to let nothing and no one get in the way of them reclaiming the jewels, even fellow elves. The sons of Feanor attacked, and lots more elves died, but they didn't get the Silmaril. That was spirited away by Elwing, Dior's daughter. From her, it ended up with Eärendil, her husband. As I said, it passed through quite a lot of hands, and wherever it went, death and destruction followed. But Eärendil was the last person to have it. He is quite an important person in the history of Middle-earth, and he set sail across the Western Sea to beg the Valar's intervention against Morgoth. As a broad summary of the First Age, elves fighting each other because of ego, greed and misunderstanding, and the sons of Feanor stopping at nothing to try to reclaim the Silmarils while Morgoth grows in strength and slowly invades the continent, is probably pretty close to the mark. Eärendil's voyage to try to stop all the madness is not just understandable, but noble. The Valar did intercede. Morgoth was defeated and the Second Age beckoned. And to return to the Silmarils, they each attained their final place. Eärendil's Silmaril was attached to his forehead and set as a star, more on that in a moment. The other two Silmarils, which Morgoth had kept a hold of throughout the First Age, were captured by the last two of Feanor's sons, finally fulfilling their oath. But tragedy once more followed. After all that time striving to fulfil their oath, Maedhros and Maglor could not keep the Silmarils. Remember that the Silmarils were hallowed and couldn't be touched by impure hands. Regardless of whether you believe the Silmarils did belong to Feanor's family, Maedhros and Maglor had done a lot of evil acts to their fellow elves in trying to get the Silmarils. Murder, treachery, and much more besides. They were undoubtedly now impure. When they held them now, the Silmarils burned their hands. The preceding centuries of pain and destruction were for nothing. Of course, if they couldn't have them after all that, they were desperate that no one else would have them either. Maedhros threw himself and his Silmaril into a fiery chasm, and Maglor threw his deep into the sea. Thus, the last resting place of the three Silmarils were one in the sky, one in the earth, and one in the sea, the three elements of Arda. The Silmarils had passed out of history, but their influence remained. It was the light of the Star of Eärendil that guided the Edain to Numenor, their new home, at the start of the Second Age. The legends of the Three Jewels were still told in the time of the Lord of the Rings, and perhaps most importantly, the light from Eärendil's star played a crucial role in the destruction of the One Ring. The Phial of Galadriel, the light that Galadriel gave Frodo as a parting gift in Lothlorien, contained light from the Star of Eärendil, in other words, the Silmaril itself. It's no coincidence, literally, that this gift came from Galadriel, whose hair had apparently inspired the creation of the Silmarils in the first place, and also that it was used to defeat Shelob, the descendant of Ungoliant, the spider creature who had destroyed the Light of the Two Trees all that time ago. These are subtle references that can only be picked up on if you know the history of Middle-earth, as almost no one did when The Lord of the Rings was first published. Tolkien certainly knew how to reward a careful reading of his creation. The Silmarils, or the desire to possess the Silmarils, also tells us a lot about some important characters, like Morgoth. We often think of him sitting in his dark fortress, hating all light and goodness, but as is often the case with Tolkien's work, this characterization is an oversimplification. We're told that when he first looked upon the Silmarils, envy was in his heart. Not because he hated light and beauty, but because he wanted it. He wanted the ability to create, to craft, to be light and beauty. This became twisted in his mind to him wanting to get rid of the true light and be recognized as the holder of light, the holder of the Silmarils. So he destroyed the trees, took the Silmarils, and set them in his iron crown, wanting to be seen as the Lord of Light, even in the darkness, even if he did not, could not, create that light himself. The Silmarils are also often held up as a precursor of the One Ring, items of great power that corrupt those who seek to possess them. There is definitely an element of this going on, but fundamentally the Silmarils are different. The One Ring was created by Sauron pouring all of his hatred, cruelty and lust for power into it. The Silmarils, on the other hand, were hallowed. They were, though Tolkien doesn't use this exact word, holy. People did lust after them and do horrendous things to get them, but that came from them, not the Silmarils themselves. It's as if Tolkien uses the Silmarils to remind us that we can't blame all the ills of the world on evil things corrupting people, as could perhaps have been the takeaway message from the One Ring, but he wants to show us that there is evil, or the potential for pride, envy, and a lust for power in all of us. It is up to all of us, ourselves, to be our better selves, not just to blame it all on the evil magic ring. And remember, even after all the tragedy surrounding the Silmarils, it is the light from one of them that Galadriel gives to Frodo to give hope in the darkest of places. And as she does so, I think we see Tolkien painting us a picture of redemption, something that could once have been terrible but now is just beautiful. "May it be a light to you in dark places," says Galadriel, "when all other lights go out. Remember Galadriel and her mirror." Frodo took the phial, and for a moment, as it shone between them, he saw her again standing like a queen, great and beautiful, but no longer terrible. He bowed, but found no words to say. If you'd like to see more videos like this, digging into the lore of The Lord of the Rings, please click on the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Take care, and I'll see you again soon.